What's up, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's October 14th, 2025. You're listening or watching a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel, as well as our Facebook page. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, that notification bell, all that good stuff so you know when we are going live every single week. I'm Tanner Lee. Along with me in the house live tonight's Aaron Lynch and Evan Webb. Fellas, how we doing? Have we recovered from Saturday night yet?
Nope.
It's just another day of pretty football.
Sadly, that's a good way to put it. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, if Purdue shot themselves in the foot against Illinois, they blew their foot off completely against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you, especially when you like dive deeper into the stats, you know, it's one thing to watch it, but when you actually look at like the numbers, it just makes it even worse.
Yeah, I didn't do any research, but off the top of my head, I can't remember a game where Purdue outgained an opponent by almost 200 total yards and lost the game. I'm sure there's been occasions, but.
So you brought up Nevada from 2019. That's probably the closest one.
Probably.
I just can't remember 200 yards, though.
Right. I think, was it the first year? I think Brohm's first year we played at Rutgers, and we kind of dominated that game. I found a way to lose.
16-14 or something stupid.
Yeah. Like that. But, yeah, this is – I mean, I titled it as a maddening loss for Purdue, because I'm still aggravated by it when I think about it. And Carl here on YouTube said, yes, it was maddening, but I'm frustrated rather than apathetic as I was in 2024. Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. I mean, I think why I'm so frustrated is you can see the improvement. You can see the signs of getting there, but they just won't get out of their own way. Mm-hmm.
I think it still goes back to the coaching 101. I mean, that's what we're paying them for. I understand Andrew stated that it's budget players. I just don't – we're paying them, and I see an undersized defense down south dominating games too.
It's putting it lightly.
Yeah, I see both ways. I mean, you get what you pay for, I guess. I think some of it's on the coaching staff, but also they can't go out there and catch the football. I mean, Pro Football Focus, I think, notched Purdue with 6 drops. I think that's light. Like Purdue had about 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And there were some balls that went through their hands that they probably didn't even call for a drop. I mean, I like the wide receiver room. I think there's some talent there. So there's depth, but they've got to start coming through for their quarterback. It is killing this team.
Well, I mean, this team's we're second to last in turnover margin in the all FBS. We're 131.
Right.
The only two teams worse than us are Florida Atlantic and Nevada. I mean, it is horrendous, the turnover margin. I actually looked at the penalties. I know I sent you all the stats in regards to, like, where we stand in regards to penalties and penalty yards. And I was actually shocked that – we only dropped the 64th in the FBS. I was expecting a larger drop after this weekend's game. But for those that don't know, Purdue's averaging 6 penalties a game, 34 yards roughly, give and take. Iowa's the fewest. It's Ferentz ball out there. But, you know, if you can't create turnovers on defense and you're turning the ball over on offense and you're committing penalties, it don't matter what product you put out there, you're gonna lose game.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's the three big killers were drops, penalties, and turnovers. I mean, you have 4 turnovers, you only force one. That's a recipe for disaster every time. That's why the score ended up being 27-20, even though Purdue had more total yards, way more rush yards, didn't have as many passing yards. But I mean, yeah, if you would have gave me that box score before the game without the turnovers, I'm saying, wow, Purdue wins this game 2 touchdowns plus pretty easily.
Yeah.
not the case.
I'm even shocked that we're – I mean, just looking at stats and rankings through six games, I mean, yeah, we're 78th in total defense, and I get it because we're not doing takeaways. But, you know, unfortunately, we're averaging – giving up 6 yards per play, which is – that's a killer because you're not getting off the field on third down. Yeah. You're not even getting to third down in many cases because you're they're just driving it down you. Your throat and you can't get off the field. Therefore, you're putting stress on your offense as a quarterback to go make plays and try to fit balls at windows that aren't there and go out and extend plays too because your offensive line can't give you enough time. Now, this past game, he did get time and they did run the ball. So
I thought both Purdue's lines dominated on Saturday this week.
Oh, defensively for sure. I don't think that trick play, and I know Odom stated, you know, you're the hero when you have, but I don't understand why Mockaby's just not going down with that or just trying to nudge forward and throwing it up in the end zone.
Well, it's crazy. That play was working. He pump faked for no reason.
Smith was wide open.
He was wide open. He
lobs it. All he's got to do is lob the ball. But
yeah.
Or throw it towards the sidelines where that guy can't make a diving catch. And I like the aggressiveness and the trickiness. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think that was the right situation to do it.
I agree.
Purdue was doing whatever they wanted on offense. Don't get cute there. That's my frustration. It's been my frustration with Purdue football going back, even the Jeff Brom era. Lack of execution in the red zone. It just drives me nuts. That's where I see the big problem that's not getting fixed is Purdue can get down to the red zone and then they can't get touchdowns. We saw that at the end of the game when they were trying to tie the game after the pick six. Mm-hmm.
Let me look at that real quick. Just for everyone's knowledge, Purdue has 9 interceptions on the season. That's 130th in the FBS. So let me see where we're at. Sorry, this is bad podcasting.
I saw there was like a bunch of like, I think it might have been Big Ten Huddle tweeted like the Big Ten leaders for every category, and Purdue led one category, and that was interceptions thrown.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan's thrown 7 of them himself. He had 2 the other night. You know, one was tipped, but the second one, I mean, it was a heck of a player by the Minnesota defender, but also a ball that he probably shouldn't have thrown. And you just, you know, and Aaron, I'm assuming you watched a majority, if not all, of the game. I know I only got to watch the fourth quarter. I listened to the first 3 quarters on the radio. Evan, I don't know how many quarters you end up watching before you
watch the first half.
First half.
I listened to the radio. I listened to the radio on the way home.
But like Newton and Herman kept bringing up good point. Like, you know, it feels like Purdue should be up more. You know, if they could just get up 10 or 14, it might get out of reach. And I kept telling my wife, like, Purdue's going to end up losing this game because they can't get away from a 1-score lead. Mm-hmm. I mean, we pulled in the garage. It was 3rd down. I don't even remember what yard line we're at. We're up 7. I get it. We get inside after we unload everything. And Minnesota has the ball back. So I'm thinking, did they sack us and make us punt? Come find out. Porath missed the field goal. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota goes down. We have 2 face mask penalties on one of them on 3rd down. I don't remember if the other one was. They also converted a 4th-and-2 on that drive. They scored a tied up. Then boom, pick 6. I mean, it was just like, there it is. Just momentum flipped. And it just frustrating.
Yep. And just going back to your stat to hold on that, Purdue is 124th. At 134 FBS teams in red zone offense, 25 trips, 18 scoring drives with of those 18, 7 of those are made field goals. So you're not converting into any touchdowns. You're having Porath kick it. That's not good enough.
That's where to me a good tight end helps so much in the red zone. And right now with Georgia out, Purdue just doesn't have one, unfortunately. I mean, Rico Walker had a nice hurdle on Saturday one time, but still, I think did he even catch more than one ball? 3 for 16.
Yeah, he caught 3. But there's a reason why he's bounced around.
Right. Well, there's a reason. There's always a reason a lot of these guys bounce around, but.
That's why I know you guys all are about players not wanting to develop them, but I don't know why we wouldn't want to bring someone in undersized, redshirt them. If they become the next Dustin Keller, great.
The problem is nobody wants a redshirt anymore.
Not if you go get someone that's low star and then you see.
I think they're trying in the high school ranks, but it's Purdue. Not sure, Webby.
Yeah, I just noticed that too.
Purdue's problem, I think, is not so much getting talent out of the portal, it's retaining your high talented players. We haven't seen that yet in this transfer portal era. Hopefully that changes in the offseason, but I mean, we still have 6 games left and we'll see what happens, but that's what makes me nervous is how can Purdue retain some of these guys and then continue to develop them?
Unfortunately, I don't think that we're going to retain it being the bottom barrel of the Big Ten. That's the problem. I mean, the only thing is that, A, we're in the Big Ten. And yeah. I would say last week's news about the private equity deal that we don't think we're going to get relegated anytime soon. So thank goodness about that. But I really just don't know where you go because I'm going to give props to here. Like, IU fans, enjoy it. Enjoy what you have because that the guy who, as annoying as he is, the cookies and brownies comment this weekend, I did not get. But
he's very unlikable. But he
can wait, what? I didn't hear this. What happened?
Jenny Dell at the end of the game for CBS. Like, what do you have against those people that have opinions that you all aren't worth like being this high rank? And he said, you know, people argue over cookies and brownies. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
that's something I would say. I'm sorry. You're a CEO, you're a CEO of a big time program. But you can coach your team. They all know the small details. They all battle through, you know, it like that, you know, interception and came back and actually was able to drive and win the game. I don't see that in this program. I mean,
they've shown the ability to drive. They just can't finish.
They don't have the capability to understand small details of, A, I know we, you know, Evan asked about, hey, where's the flags on Dante Moore? And you can go for the quarterback's knees in college.
Yeah.
Go for the knees. Like, you shouldn't be trying to wrap up around the guy's face mask and shoulder pad level. You should be diving at their knees at this point. I understand that's not quote unquote tackle technique in regards to that, but you got a lot of momentum. You can just fall forward as a 6'6", 6'5", D lineman.
Yeah. Now, I definitely, through 6 games, I mean, we've seen a lot of improvement compared to last year, but there's still a long ways to go. I think what just frustrated me was, you know, I thought if they could grab that game, which really thought they dominated for a majority of the game, if they could grab that game, who's to say they can't beat Northwestern Rutgers? Then, as unlikely as it is, all you got to do is upset somebody in November, then you're bowl eligible. I mean, that would be incredible for the staff and what they inherited. And that's one thing I think that's getting overlooked with all this IU talk is, yeah, I know he did a roster overhaul and they brought in a lot of people through the portal, but his situation he inherited under Tom Allen was nowhere near as bad as Barry Odom just took over Ryan Walters, the mess he left.
Nope. And he didn't have a mass exodus.
Right. Either. Right. I mean, he brought in tons of his own guys, but.
Correct. The only thing I can say would be comparable would be going to be UCLA, but now UCLA looks like
they're
a team.
Found their footing. Yep, they found their footing. So
maybe Penn State looks like this. I highly doubt it, but
depends obviously who you get.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Michigan State with Jonathan. If Jonathan Allen can't keeps laying eggs up there, I don't.
Yeah.
But the problem is we don't
get fired this weekend. They get torched the way they probably will.
Oh, they'll get torched on the road. But I mean, we sit here and look at this program and we're like, every other program outside IU at least has some history. I mean, we have history, but it's been quite a few years ago. I mean, you know, Evan Multaner, you actually brought it up that David Bell retired. Like our prominent guys that were in the last 5 years outside of Carl Loftus are hurt, retired, outside of Barnes and Carl Loftus. Those are like the only couple NFL prominent, like IU's probably going to have a first round draft pick in Mendoza.
No.
I mean, it's just I don't know how much more we can keep going back to the Breeze trade 25 years later.
No, I was thinking that the other day, and this is a weird question I'm going to bring up. Really weird, because Drew Brees is one of the greatest of all time, and NFL level too. He's going to be Hall of Famer come this next year. Would he be looked at in the same light at Purdue if that team did not make the Rose Bowl?
No. Probably because we have – I'm going to say yes.
No. I mean, I think he'd be looked at like Kyle Orton. Like,
I'm right there with you.
But, yeah. like,
he'd be looked at like games,
win some games, beat some ranked teams, got us some some good bowl games. But, at the end of the day, Orton never got over the hump, had the chance, obviously, we all know very well. But, yeah, I think it had not been for, winning the Big Ten for the first time since, 67?
66.
66. Like, yeah, it's like, it's another just really good quarterback.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm glad everything went down the way it did, trust me, but like it would have been crazy to think if he wouldn't have made a Rose Bowl, and then if that 03 team would have won that heartbreaker against Ohio State and made a Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. as Kyle Orton looked in the same vein to Purdue fans as Drew Brees. I don't know. It just
I think it definitely helps that Brees' NFL career.
Sure.
Went the way it did. I don't know if I don't remember really. I remember, obviously, cheering for him, when he was on the Chargers, but obviously when he got hurt, it was he had a shot, he's undersized sort of thing, it was fun while it lasted, and then obviously went to New Orleans and changed history, but
yeah,
I think that plays even a bigger part of it, too.
Yeah, it's been a good recruiting tool for Purdue, mm-hmm. and even getting quarterbacks over the years, and he's helped fund a lot of things in the athletics, especially mm-hmm. the football program. So, yeah, it was just something that kind of – I thought about a few weeks ago, and I forgot to ask you guys. And so now I saw my shot, and I took it.
I think, though, going on that is we've had a run of defensive players.
Yeah.
In the NFL. And, has that translated to any products and helping us get better recruits? No.
Denna defensive ends was there for a little bit, and that kind of dried mm-hmm. up. Obviously, came that was there with Karlaftis, but, that wasn't that long ago.
Hazel killed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that run with Kerrigan, Short, everyone, just defensive linemen. Yeah. Hazel did kill it. But when Braun got that back going, and I know Scorton was supposed to be kind of that player.
And Jenkins, too. And he never really developed.
But we had Rico.
Yeah.
And we had, there's other guys.
Sure.
That definitely. I look at it and and we still just keep going back to this Drew Brees well. And I'm like, these kids aren't going to know who this guy is.
That's what's been fortunate about Purdue basketball. It's don't know if we're going to get another chance. Don't know when we're going to have a player like that walk through the doors again. And it just keeps happening every cycle. Mm-hmm. We can't take it for granted because that can stop at any time. And especially nowadays in college athletics. I like to think the day when Matt Painter hangs it up that Purdue keeps rolling on like a machine, but there's no guarantee. There's no mm-hmm. guarantee at all. He's one of the best to do it for reasons. So, I hear you though, Aaron. It is frustrating. I think that's why I'm taking this IU thing so hard. And even Notre Dame right now is starting to have a pretty good season again. It's even though we were young, I remember what it felt like to enjoy college football Saturdays and beat good teams and be fired up. And I still
expect to win games, going to a game. Like Purdue should win this game. There's obviously you know, 8-4 wasn't out of the realm of I think we can be 8-4 this year. You win six games. What happened? Those few games. And then obviously, things change with, Hazel and all that. But then Brom kind of got that back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Years. Especially post COVID. It just sucks.
So I'm going to throw this out. It's 2023 again. Brom leaves and he has, I don't know why Cignetti wasn't on the list. back then.
It was on the message boards. Someone went back and found it last year when they were going on their run of like someone who like threw his name on the message board. And it was just like, man, it could have been.
I would still like to know who the list was. I still am going to believe. I don't think Ryan Walters was candidate number one. I think he blew him away somehow in his interview.
Yeah.
That's just my personal, that's my personal belief and thought. I could be way wrong, but there wasn't a lot of smoke there.
No, it came out of nowhere. Yeah.
I bet it was Troy Calhoun.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I honestly have no idea. I mean, it could have been.
I mean.
I don't know why he wouldn't have taken the job.
I guarantee he wasn't offered the job. They probably saw so much high potential in Walters and how he interviewed and how he talked about defensive scheme and how you match up. And he was these people that didn't live through football outside of Bobinski, probably he's talking to. Like, he sold them something.
Yeah.
I mean, his dad is an executive at Microsoft in legal. So to me, it's there as a given trait.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he did have, and obviously, being the coordinator of the year helps too.
Yeah,
like you carry that cachet.
And didn't he have a plan? Like he came with like a binder or like some sort of pamphlet and handed it out to everybody. Like he was looked so I prepared. He wasn't. He'd probably be a good head coach someday somewhere. But
he will be. I will say this: 10 years, maybe Colorado opens up. It guaranteed this guy's going to succeed. Mm-hmm. There's too much there to know that he did wrong, but he couldn't fix it fast enough with a fan base that was getting so aggravated and apathetic in regards to Carl's comment last year that the guy was calling offense and really hasn't played, has never done offense.
Well, it went so bad so fast. That was,
You got just trounced three times by like 60 points, including your two rivals. And like my dad and I were talking today, you know, if Purdue would have found a way to win that Michigan State game, even that Northwestern game, both those games, he's probably still the coach this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if they win two more games last year and go 3-9. But
my thing is what roster?
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
Claire would have left. Helt would have left. Well, maybe Helt might have stayed, but
Thiedemann was gone.
Yeah, Thiedemann was going to go.
He was gone after six games last year.
And the other thing is, how much would this program have put, like, dump money at how they put with Odin's staff into him again for a third year in a row?
And I'm glad we're not open this year with the coach. He cares already how it is. God. I mean,
yeah.
And we're bad enough he ain't going to leave.
Also, you wonder, too, like, is Odin, like, going, damn, should have waited a year.
I think he likes it at Purdue. I mean,
I think he does.
I mean,
yeah.
He knew what he was getting into.
He took
the job. So, I mean, I'm glad he's our head coach. Mm-hmm. I wish I could say I was shocked by some Purdue fans that are turning their back on him already, but I'm not. That's the mentality of a lot of our football. I'm going to put in air quotes for everybody listening fans. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that I always say, you know, someday if Purdue gets good at football again, you don't deserve to be cheered. I remember in the Big Ten championship game, going back to 2022, there were so many fans that were the biggest bandwagon Purdue fans I've ever seen. All of a sudden, they're going to the game. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I agree with that. I will say this. As much as I've just criticized, the guy's the right guy. I can sit here and say, when you go up there and say, this is my fault, this is my staff's fault, and the staff saying the same thing in the message, that means that there is one voice, one pillar that they're marching towards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they can't get these guys on board, they're going to get these guys out of here and get the guys they want. Yeah, it's simple as that.
It's a blessing and a curse, the transfer portals. If things don't go well, you have a chance to fix it real fast versus 6 years ago.
He is very grateful for this opportunity. You can definitely see that.
Well, he knows he's got to get done. He's got to get done because if not, he might be done being head coach.
Yeah.
Correct. This might be his last stop, but I also don't think he's not going to, unless he's going to leave for Arkansas or something like that. Like, that's the only thing I can think of him leaving.
Arkansas fans would be so pissed if they went and got him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going to say, with the money they have, with Jerry
Jones. You got Jerry Jones, you got Tyson, you got Walmart. Like, good God. Like,
true. Very true. Yeah, Barry sounded more defeated after Saturday than after Illinois when he sounded pissed off. I just think he knows, like, showing improvement, showing some progression, but there's still a lot to clean up. And it's just it's frustrating when your players aren't doing a lot of the easy things. And I don't know. I mean, hopefully it starts this weekend. I mean, I hate to say this is a must win, but I'm going to come out and say this is a must win for, if anything else, a lot of your fan base to still be all in, at least for this year.
Yeah. I mean, if you,
it's not going to be easy.
You lose this one. Like, it's like, I mean, that's the point where it's like, ooh, I don't know if it's going to be, if it's going to happen this year then. Like, then only two wins are non-FBS. One is FBS, but non-power.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's now two straight years of no power four wins.
Yep.
And I will say this, if you lose the next 2 weeks, I'm not saying this week's a must win, but if you lose the next 2 weeks, that Black Friday game against IU is just going to be all red and white in that stadium.
There's a chance it will be anyways, but that's
them,
why.
Especially for them a chance to go 12-0.
That's why I was still going back. Like, I thought even if I use 11-0 coming in, if Purdue, and I think it's kind of out of the realm of possibility with what happened Saturday, but if Purdue could have got to that game with five wins, in a chance to upset them somehow and make a bowl, would have been really fun. I still think it'll be a fun environment, but I think Purdue's got to go in there at least with four wins. Got to find a way to do it.
Well, before we get too far ahead, any other notes we want to talk about on Saturday's game?
We can give some Hubba stickers.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Okay, it's not going to be special teams this week. Shocker, folks. I did think Jack McAllister did punt well in that cold weather.
I didn't realize Minnesota punted seven times.
Same.
Yep.
Well, damn.
But I want to give it to a unit for the defense allowing 30. I mean, just did not allow run game to generate. Was in the backfield. Nunley was in the backfield. Powell, Correa, that defense was flowing around. And Grimes played a heck of a game.
I thought the defensive backs were great compared to Illinois.
It was night and day. And here in Shear's press conference, he's like, when Tony Grimes believes in himself, this is Tony Grimes we get. And I'm like, well, wish he would have believed in himself for the previous four games he played, five games total, and probably would have been better.
12 pass deflections.
Yep.
Yeah. Finally got a pick. Miles Slesher. Yep. Finally got a pick.
Off a tip.
Yep.
But definitely, I will say this. Helmut Sticker's defense. All those guys.
Webby, I'll let you take the next one. Because I got two guys I could go with. So if you take one, I'll take the other.
Didn't do a whole lot outside of really one thing. I'm going to give it to Malachi Stilton.
That was one of mine. Yep.
Just because of that. I mean, coming in obviously cold, but then kind of taking that fourth, taking to the house to start the game. Like, that's, I was just like, I mean, we haven't seen that sort of thing. So it was nice to see. I mean, got the team super excited. It was nice to jump out to a lead. Unfortunately, we couldn't hold on to it, but,
what did I tell you, Webby? What did I tell you Saturday? Give us a 10 point lead, see if we can hang on. We got a 10 point lead on one time we couldn't hang on. Damn it.
But yeah, it was nice to see him. Obviously, I didn't get the whole him, like, it was ending the third quarter, like, or something. What was it? Like, he was like playing, like, he was in the game, and then, like, all of a sudden Brown came in for third down or something like that. It was, I didn't get, but I mean, I thought he, most action he's seen in a while this season. Yeah. And he made the most of it, I thought.
Yeah, five carries, 73 yards, including that 40 yard scamper for a touchdown. He's 0-for-1 passing. I told you we were going to see him eventually pass, and I still think they're going to fake the defense out one of these days with him in a run package and pass. Or they asked Tom Dinger, asked him the other day if he can catch. He said, I'm going to keep that on the down low. So that tells me that they got something, planned for eventually. I just like the guy's attitude. I mean, it's easy to be, you know, you thought you're going to be the guy coming here in the spring. You get replaced, even though it was a quarterback competition. It could be easy for him to just hang his head, not being involved and into it. But
or like, I mean, we thought he might leave when Brown's back.
Yep. But
I know you guys didn't watch the game, but like Brown was the first guy off the sidelines.
I did see that on the highlights. Yep. That's good. Yeah. That's good to see.
I mean, there is team camaraderie here. So mm-hmm. it's not like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone, I think, wants to win, but it's just,
sure.
We're not executing the small details and the easy things to win.
Got to learn to win. And they're just not there yet, unfortunately. I'm going to go with a freshman on defense. And I am going to go with Jaleel Cummings, number 22. He was kind of thrown into the fire there a little bit. I think he played a little bit against Illinois, but got more of a run this game. And I thought he did pretty well. He had two pass breakups and one tackle. But, I mean, for a guy who hadn't played a ton and as a freshman to get thrown in there and didn't do anything bad to where you really get noticed.
Yeah.
Hats off to him. So
I thought you were going to give the Purvis.
You know, he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
So the line did a good job the other night. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen Purdue have that type of running performance in a while. So hopefully they can keep it up. Hopefully maybe they found something because against Illinois, they were able to get a little running room. So maybe they're starting to gel a little bit. So on the line. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Any other comments for this week?
I just now put it in the rearview mirror. I'm still pissed, but this is kind of, I even told myself today, this could be the last time I bring it up for a while on the podcast tonight. I got to get out of my system as a fan to move on. And all eyes on Northwestern.
This is the bad part of college football.
100%.
It's like when you have these games, it's like, God, I got to wait till next Saturday now. Yep. Oh, assuming you don't have a bye.
Yeah.
Wait till next Saturday to hopefully get rid of this feeling.
Yep. I'm glad you brought that up, Webby, because that made me think, like, do you guys think until March Madness starts, it seems like, and I know it's different because there's more games and everything, but it seems like college football games, like big games, are more hyped up than college basketball games.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
There's more media money dumped into college football than there is basketball.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, I mean, despite the, you know, obviously, the Big Ten not being a part of ESPN, like I still tune into College Game Day on ESPN, no matter.
Oh, yeah. Playing. Yeah. It's still fun.
I can't remember the last time I watched College Game Day for basketball.
For one, they never freaking come to Mackey for some reason.
Right. And that was obviously part of, you know, obviously the Big Ten deal of moving away from you, which I guess that's a bigger part of the why they don't come to a Big Ten mm-hmm. school and for basketball. Yeah, just because, like, you know, yeah, there's just, I mean, I think maybe outside of like, these like Saturday, late December games, like right around Christmas time where people are, you know, off of work, school's out, sort of thing. Like those can be really fun, mm-hmm. especially if they're on campus. And I remember 2 years ago, you know, it was the classic against Arizona. And that was preluded or like before that was Kansas at Indiana. I remember watching that downtown Indy. Like it was just a great day of basketball. But mm-hmm. it's like I think you get that like maybe once a couple weekends a year, even like for like even during the weekdays, like it's hard doing a weekday because again, because people, I mean, all have busy lives and there's more and more things to do as an adult now, and people get pulled in different directions. Whereas like football, it's like you know Saturdays or weekends are revolve around football. whether you're a college or NFL fan, like it's just kind of like ingrained in American culture.
Yeah, very good. Very good point.
But football is also an event. It's not like a basketball, which is it a game.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot more that happens around football. And I would even say 100%. The Indy Classic was even overshadowed by NFL games because like those NFL Saturday games before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
that's what's happening.
Yeah.
NFL's king. I mean, it's compared to everything.
And just you don't have good point. Like, you don't tailgate for a basketball game. Like, so there's not a whole lot of, you go, like, you know, you try and go maybe get there a little bit early, but like, it's not like you're not getting there 6 hours early and hanging out because there's a good chance it might be 7 degrees outside.
Here. Some of the Big Ten, the West Coast, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good. Yeah. They can be outside, but. Yeah, no, I was just, that's you guys brought really good points because I was thinking about that today because I see, and of course, know a lot of Notre Dame fans. I got a lot of friends that are Notre Dame fans, Indiana fans. Which you cannot like both. I went on a rant on my other podcast about that. I'm sick of that. Pick one. Choose a side. Whoever you root for in the playoff, that's your team. Shut up. But but I just keep seeing more and more people like, oh, can't wait for the game Saturday, you know, and you just don't hear that as much in basketball. So,
No, because there's more opportunities. And I think also the media focus is diminished. I mean, think about baseball and how much diminished it from the like American eye. I mean, ESPN, ABC for basketball, I feel like it, to be honest, it feels like it just revolves around Duke, UNC, Duke, UNC, and then maybe you get it sprinkled in Kansas. But we're not going to get coverage on anywhere on ESPN about being a number one, you know, preseason ranked school or any
of those dumb sons of bitches yesterday on ESPN.com on the video to click on. Cam Heidi was on the picture.
Hell yeah.
For us being number one, I about screenshot sent to you guys. And I'm just like, this is why I hate ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, we're the number one team in the country in basketball. And you got a guy that's at Texas. And
like, you couldn't pick like the reigning Big Ten player of the year.
Exactly. I mean, how hard was it? Fletcher, or TKR. Oh my God.
No, because none
Wilberg. I would have taken Wilberg, maybe.
They picked a guy who didn't even start.
But he was exciting. He was exciting and had that. That's what they want. Like, they're trying to sell something.
Robinson on there, for God's sake. He was exciting. His son's on the team. At least that's closer connection than Cam. I'm tired of tonight. I apologize, everybody.
I don't disagree, but you know, it unfortunately the media is going to influence more of what we as normal or average things or average humans see. I mean, if you don't want to be influenced by kind of what you're seeing and what you do, I mean, then A, don't watch this podcast. That's number one, or listen to it. Literally, just go watch CBS.
You're supposed to do the opposite here.
Well, I'm just being honest. I mean, this is propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, ESPN is not what it used to be. It just
I'm going
on a rant of just showing highlights and scores. If you want that, you got to go watch CBS HQ because that's the only thing they literally talk about is like, here's some highlights, here's the scores, next game.
Yeah.
ESPN picks a, no matter what sport, pro calls, they pick a group of teams and they're going to focus on them. That's about it.
Correct. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And money has controlled this. Private equity has controlled all this. Like, it's ruined what fandom truly is.
You're right.
And you can thank Jerry Jones for its start.
Well, he needs to worry about his own NFL team. They don't do anything.
No, but I'm talking him and Steinbrenner are the ones that created value creation in these franchises. Yep. Therefore, everyone wanted a piece of the pie. Private equity wanted a piece of the pie. Therefore, you want to make money off this. That's how it's become. And thank goodness we're getting the money for this Big Ten private equity. I don't care where it's coming from, but maybe our basketball success can continue. Maybe women's basketball can come out of the cellar.
Oh boy, that's a rabbit hole for another day.
Anyhow, I do have trivia for this weekend, so let's get to trivia before I go down more of a business rabbit hole of college sports. All right, so
that's for the Patreon.
Subscribe here. All right, tonight's trivia is Purdue and Northwestern base. So gotta love the Cats here. Since 2000, Purdue's played Northwestern 18 times. In this time period, what is Purdue's record against the Cats? And who is the coach that has the most wins, and how many wins did he have?
So you said we played 18 times since 2000?
Yep.
Ooh.
I wish I had more time on this because I could
go
back in my head, but... I mean, I'm not bringing up my tab because I've got the whole series of
things. So you got a tab.
I'll screen share and show you. I don't have it open. And tab's up there, but I'm not on it.
I'll go first. Man, I'd like to think Purdue has a winning record, but also I know there obviously were some rough years there in the middle. And then also Fitzgerald had them rolling for a little bit.
Yeah, he had Brown's number for a little while.
He had someone else's number too for a while.
I'm gonna say Purdue. Oh man, I'm gonna say Purdue had 8 wins.
I was gonna go 7-11.
Okay. Evan, you're right. Purdue is 8-10.
Yes.
Against Northwestern. Who is the coach with the most wins?
It wasn't Hazel. We can cross that off. was it Walters? We can cross that one off.
He wasn't here long enough. So
yeah.
Over two.
I mean, I feel like I...
You really have three options.
I know. I'm trying to think in my head how many times one of them played them.
This is great audio, folks.
I'll go against my gut. I'm gonna say Danny Hope just because I feel like Taylor's the obvious answer. I'm gonna go Danny Hope.
Okay, how many did Hope have?
Of the eight, four.
Okay. Mm-mm.
Shut up, Tanner.
Well, he's only there 4 years, and I don't know if we played him all 3 years. That's what I was trying.
Yeah.
Did we play him all 3 years?
Yeah, because it was Leaders and Legends.
I am blanking. I remember the 2010 game, but I am blanking on the 11 and 12 games. I'm going Tiller.
Okay, how many?
Since 2000, he coached from 2000 to 2008. I'm going to go with five.
Okay. It is Tiller. And it is four. So Evan had it
correct. I had the number. I was going to say it. So I was like, that feels way too obvious for this.
I literally was like, you think Danny Hope went undefeated against Northwestern?
I forgot he was only there for 4 years. For some reason, I thought he was there longer.
So,
yeah, he only Hope was 1-1 against them.
Oh, sorry. I looked that up this afternoon.
Lost 27-21 in 2009 and won 2017 in 2010. Thank God, because I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I was the manager for 2 years. I don't remember playing these guys.
But weren't they in the Legends division with us, or were they in the Leader division?
They must have been the other one, because we would have played them.
Correct, because I thought they were in the Legends
division. I don't even remember what those
gun to head, ass. I couldn't name you a single team in either division.
No.
No, yeah. They were in... I think you're right.
Legends was like Ohio State. I feel like the Legends were like Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, because like just
yes, because we couldn't correct. Legends had Michigan in it, not Ohio State in it.
Oh,
whatever no. It was. We'll hash that out as a recap pod. Yeah, but Taylor had four. Rahm had three. That's what I thought you both were going to go.
Oh,
I remember he struggled against them a little bit.
Gerald had Rahm's number.
Yeah.
For a little bit, and then
17 and 18, Brom won in 19, Fitzgerald won 20. Brom did win 21 and 22.
I forgot about 20. I remember what 21 was. That was
Wrigley.
AOC. Yep.
Oh, I was at that game. Duh. Which was the AOC like
2019?
Okay.
In 2020, AOC broke his foot against them. We wore the Rose Bowl throwbacks that game.
That's right.
Because I remember Wright had a huge game. At Wrigley.
I was there because that was the same day as Purdue played North Carolina out east. Yep. It was a fun day. But I just remember the field was so people were just sliding. I remember AOC fell down. And I remember his knee just looked awkward when he fell. So I just thought, oh my God, there he goes. But yeah, that was a fun game. It's just the field conditions were terrible.
Yeah, Purdue leads this all time series 55-29 and one tie. In Evanston, produced 30-15-1.
Yep.
In Ross State, they're 24-14. Northwestern, like I mentioned, has a 2-game win streak. They won 26-20 in overtime last year. Ryan Walters famously or infamously went for it on fourth down in the first possession of overtime instead of just kicking the field goal. And they beat Ryan Brown and Bennett Meredith in 2023 in Evanston. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Brown gets his first time he's got a crack at somebody twice as a starter in the Big Ten come out this weekend. But, it's been an interesting series. Most time the games aren't really that close. So
wait, Ryan Brown having a crack. He had a crack at Illinois. Started twice.
You're right. There you go. I forgot about that already. You're right. Yep. I completely forgot we already played Illinois and lost to him. See, I moved on from that one. Now hopefully I can move on from Minnesota.
Before we kind of get into this game, I think it's odd they consider this a rivalry between Purdue and Illinois, played them 18 times.
It's like they talked about, yeah, so when they had this whole thing, it was like the Purdue Illinois game was right there. Like literally, like they announced it.
Yeah.
Like, that game was like the next week. It was like, what are we doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. This is a weird kick time. 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central. Yeah. I don't know why it's not 3:30 and 2:30, but whatever. Before we get into the game and does picking BTN games.
Does BTN have volleyball before us?
I don't know.
I'm surprised this is on a BTN Plus, to be honest.
There are no football games on BTN Plus.
So there's no BTN. There's no game on BTN at noon.
So it could be volleyball. Like they could have Nebraska on there.
I have blind rankings.
They're going to be showing the Purdue fan day scrimmage. That's what they're going to be doing.
My blind rankings for you guys. I took a group of wide receivers. Each one of these guys caught at least one touchdown against Northwestern in their careers. So I want you to rank them. Really, however you want. You can go by the career they had at Purdue, by if you could pick one of these five to be on this year's team, which one? I don't care how you rank them. I will say this is going to be very tough because they're all pretty darn good. So, throwing that out there.
You should have made them all mediocre.
I didn't want to do that much research, okay? First off, this guy made his footprint at Purdue, torching Northwestern back in 2018, Rondale Moore.
One.
Yeah, same. Wow. I'm going off of just like entertaining to watch, like how I enjoyed entertaining, or who I enjoyed watching. I'm probably regret it, but I was like, in my head, I was like, if he has Rondale Moore first, I'm putting that one.
Okay. I think I texted you and I said, I think this is the reincarnation of Dorian Bryant. And he was better in every single facet. I can't
except remember. Except health.
Well, that. But the promise and everything after that game, I'm like, holy crap, actually be able to compete again.
His 2018's pretty unmatched, but it's just a bummer. Didn't see hardly anything 2019. I mean, what we saw was good. And 2020 was whatever.
Thanks, COVID.
Well, you brought the guy up, Dorian Bryant. He usually had pretty good games against Northwestern.
Yeah.
I will say Dorian was a better returner than Rondale was.
Oh, yeah. Way better. Yeah.
I will say that. But
I'm going to say two.
Two?
I loved watching Dorian Bryant.
I'm afraid someone else is on here.
That was like core memory type, like growing up.
It definitely is core memory. I would 100% agree with that one. I'm going to go three because I think someone else is on here that I would want to put it to.
Mr. Chuck Sizzle, excuse me, Charlie Jones.
Five. only one year.
Yeah, he's still fun to watch.
He's really good, too.
Helped us get to a Big Ten championship.
You can make the argument Rondale was pretty much 1 year. But
yeah,
he wasn't. Yeah. But you can make targets.
I'll put him at four. I'll put him at four.
John Standiford.
I knew it. Oh man,
pretty darn good career. Wasn't the flashiest, but pretty productive.
Yeah. 4 years. I'll put him at five just because I don't remember him as well as the other ones.
I'm gonna put him at four because I don't remember him as much.
Need Andrew here to show his sweet. White John Stanford jersey from like.
Is it sad? I thought about Andrew when I picked him out. Yeah,
it's a sweet jersey.
I think that was besides Drew Brees, that might have been the top selling Purdue football jersey of all time because they started selling it his freshman year at the end of his freshman year, then sold for the next 4 years. So,
wait, time out. Don't you think 18 was because Orton and Greg Orton?
Greg Orton's 21.
Oh yeah, tough.
But Kyle sold a lot. So
okay.
David Bell.
Three. I like it.
Two.
Happy on the list.
Two. See, I think I'd put Bell at one. I think he was a better college receiver than Rondale.
I would agree.
I mean, he was just clutch in his route running and tough.
Of course, it was Marvin Harrison-esque.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And he did it with worse quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Lynch, you got to remember, Rondale didn't have to really play with anybody besides Blau and Sindelar.
Sindelar, yeah.
Correct.
And okay, little Aiden in 2020, but I mean, David played with Jack Plummer and Aiden when Aiden was freshly just thrown in the mix.
That 2019 team was just like just a bunch of freshmen and walk on because it was just so injury ridden.
Yep. Two guys I was thinking about putting on this list. One was Vinny Sutherland. He had good games against Northwestern. The other one wasn't a wide receiver, so I didn't put Dustin Keller.
Yes, that's who I was. I wanted to believe it too. Yeah. That's who I was wanting.
Yeah, because he had good games against Northwestern too.
He there's a couple games. One game I remember him carrying guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you talk
07, I believe.
I remember he was carrying a couple of defenders like multiple times to get first downs.
He was a beast. He was a beast.
And he was a wide receiver from Jefferson that we made into a – he made himself into a tight end.
Late offer. It was like the day before signing day because he was committed to Toledo. So, that was a good one.
Odom, go back in the playbook 20 years ago and look at that one. That's what we need.
Yeah, I think he wants to build it through the high school ranks. So, we'll see. We'll see what kind of recruits he can get. But, yes, Purdue Northwestern – 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central, Big Ten Network. I don't remember what this slapjack of a stadium's called. It holds 12,000 to 15,000.
I think they're still calling it Ryan Field by the lake or something like that, but I call it the County Fair by the lake.
Is that still considered Cook County? And in Cook County?
Yeah, it is because Cook County extends straight up along the lake.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's Cook County State Fairgrounds. Yeah,
I read about Ryan Field. Their old stadium held 47,000. Their new one's going to hold 35.
Their new one though is going to be multi use because they want to host like concerts and stuff through the winter in there.
Okay,
that's the whole
indoors. The winter.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like they were talking about putting a translucent roof like SoFi. Wow.
Oh, I thought it was outdoor stadium.
I thought it was going to be outdoor. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be.
Well, SoFi is technically outdoor.
It's also L.A.
Yeah.
Four times a year.
They're talking about putting events out there in the winter.
Interesting.
I don't know what you put out there because you're not going to put out the Blackhawks out there. There's no way. Well, you might because now it's terrible.
No, you'd sell that thing out like that. If you put any of those teams out there,
what's the winter? Put the Winter Classic there.
Well, I think the Winter Classic they're putting. I think Florida's hosting it.
Now that's great. That's just awesome. I mean, Florida's good. Their teams are good. Tampa's good, of course. Florida's good, but
yeah, Florida Panthers really good.
Such a hockey state. Well,
they won the back-to-back titles.
Oh, I know, but I mean, Miami could give a crap out any of their sports teams. Their college football teams ranked number 2, and they don't get people to come to games.
Panther games are sold out. You should watch them.
I would rather not.
Turn on TBS.
I watched them against the Blackhawks opening night.
I would say I like to watch the Avs, but the Avs don't. The face off doesn't even start usually until 10 p.m. So yeah. I stay up for a period, then I'm asleep. Okay. I mean, do you want to go deep into this game right now, or do you want to wait and do other games and wait?
Let's do other games first.
All right. 25, number 25, Nebraska, 8.5-point favorite at Minnesota Friday night.
Future Penn State coach Matt Rhule.
I think it's going to happen.
I think it is. I think it's a dumb hire.
That should be like option 3 or 4
for them. It's such a safe hire.
Yep.
But I'm just like, you fired Franklin for roughly the same reasons why. Rules, obviously, like they're off to a good start this year, but I mean, like, it's not like they haven't lit the world on fire.
With their schedule, they could freaking win 10 games.
It's not like Nebraska is like hurting for resources either. So it's not like, I mean, he hasn't like, I mean, yeah, he got Riola, but I think there's also a lot of family ties to that university as well. I don't know. I mean, it's probably a safe bet because they're not going to go. So it's like, you talk about these, like, you know, the hot names, like a Cignetti or whatever. It's like, he's going to be coaching until January. So that's tough to do.
Let's hope not. Maybe they'll fall on their face.
Folks, Rule could be coaching too. I mean,
I know.
Got a pretty easy schedule too.
Yeah,
moving forward.
That's true. But I think Nebraska. Does the rumors, do they cause some issues?
We saw it at Minnesota that one year. The week the rumors came up.
Yeah.
No. Nebraska rolls. That Minnesota team looked terrible against us.
No. Yeah. I want to grab PJ by the tie and just.
Is he wearing like a tracksuit with that?
No. That's a quarter zip. And then he had like just like the Nike pants. They weren't sweatpants. They were just pants, like the Nike golf pants. And then yellow shoes, which I thought had spikes on them, but they didn't.
He works the officials on the football field like Izzo does on the basketball court. Drives me nuts.
He does. Here we go. Next game. Winter Classic is at Lone Depot Park. Panthers host the Rangers.
Yay.
On January 2nd. I will be watching.
65 degrees.
Oh, it might be 80.
It's true.
Hopefully the ice can stay frozen. Washington 5-1 at 4-2 Michigan, who's a 6.5-point favorite.
Give me the Huskies.
That's who I really want to pick in this game. Michigan, just for being at home.
I think Washington's better, but I think Michigan wins this game.
Yeah.
So if Michigan drops a few more, Moro could be in big trouble. So then there's another job. Then there's another big job that comes open.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they get – I don't know how the Underwood contract is. That's the thing. Like, can he just transfer and keep all that money?
I don't know how that stuff works. I really don't. It might be case to case. I don't know. Michigan State, who's 3-3 and just not playing good football, at number 3, 6-0, Indiana, who's 27.5-point favorites. They are rivals, technically, because they play for the Brass Platoon.
That's right.
Yep. I think Cignetti wins by 6 touchdowns.
As much as I want to say Michigan State will cover, I don't think they will.
Not a chance. Not a chance in hell.
Nope.
Hey, maybe now that IU's the hunted, maybe they fall on their face. We've seen crazy crap happen college football.
I think our only chances are like at Maryland, maybe Penn State. Who knows? Like, you know, hey, it's a chance for them to. It's going to happen.
UCLA can do it.
No. What's going to happen is they're going to play Ohio State. And they're probably going to play Ohio State hard.
I still think Ohio State's easily the number one team in the country. But.
I think before we get off IU here, if I know nightmare situation, they get to the national title game, they win it. Do they put that banner in Assembly Hall?
No, they'll just make it cover the whole football stadium.
Their hillbilly fans will forget about basketball.
Yeah.
Who's Bobby?
No kidding. No,
Isaiah Thomas probably wouldn't be welcome there anymore.
Let's just hope we don't even have to go there.
I'm setting myself up. It's real possibility at this
point. I wish we could go back. I remember Lynch. You were just like, Illinois is going to beat them in this crap, in this nightmare. And there we are.
Well, they might have the Colts backup quarterback still on that roster after this past weekend.
Number one, Ohio State, 24.5-point favorites at Wisconsin, who is 2-4 and just awful.
This is Fickle's last game.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Ohio State beats them by about 40.
I would agree.
I think the score is going to be 70 to like 10.
Yeah. Once again, my dad today's like, why couldn't we play Wisconsin? I'm like, well, you know what happened? They'd still be us by 17, and we'd play
really
mad at ourselves. He's like, why couldn't we just play UCLA and Wisconsin and
Iowa?
Iowa, yeah. Iowa's always, yeah, Michigan State. I don't know. Number eight, Rutgers, 17.5-point favorites across the country at, or geez, Oregon. Number eight, Oregon, 17.5-point favorites across the country at Rutgers. That's what I'm
saying. And so Greg Schiavo's been doing a damn good job to be number eight this week.
He got him up there once. I think Oregon wins and covers. I think I'll be mad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Penn State, coachless, quarterbackless, at 4-2 Iowa, who won 37-0 over Wisconsin, and they are 2.5-point favorites. Night game at Kinnick, 7 o'clock.
Ooh. They still haven't announced the interim coach, have they?
Yeah, they did. I have never heard of the dude.
It was during the press conference, the AD's press conference yesterday. I think Iowa squeaks it out. I think it's a close game. But I think, yeah, the night, Kinnick, yeah.
Penn State has more talent, but I think Iowa finds one. That's a tough first start for whoever the backup is.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't just fire him at the end of the season. But give me Iowa on this one.
You know, one big rumor I heard today, the owner of the Buffalo Bills is a big backer of Penn State. And there's speculation that he helped pony up the money for the buyout and that he might let his office coordinator, Joe Brady, become Penn State's next head coach. Joe Brady has had success at LSU as their office coordinator before he went to the pros. I don't know. That was just one guy's speculation.
Joe Brady's going to get a look at the Titans job.
I'd rather Penn State than the Titans job. Titans job.
100,000%. Titans
fire people left and right. They're right there with the Browns. They're so irrelevant.
What? I'm sorry. Is it like, did you see like the stats, like the last four or five number one overall pick quarterbacks had their coach fired the season?
Yep.
Well, there's a reason that team's picking number one. Yeah. I mean, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Maryland at UCLA is a 3.5-point favorite.
I think UCLA's little honeymoon runs out. I think Loxley and the boys get it done.
They've had heartbreak games. Give me UCLA. I think they're going to go 3-4 this week.
I'm thinking the Bruins, too. Maryland's got to be mad. They've been so close. Can't get over the hump. In the battle for the Shillelagh, another – Jewel Shillelagh, I believe this one is. Number 20 USC is 8.5-point dogs at number 13 Notre Dame.
It's interesting because Notre Dame's defense has struggled, as we saw. Yep. And USC's offense can put up some points, as we also saw. I think in the end, I think Notre Dame's just the better team.
This might be our last hope to keep them out of the playoff.
Yeah.
They're getting in. I mean, Notre Dame's going to win this game.
I'd rather have them in it than the other team.
Yeah, I would too.
I think both going to get in.
This is quickly made me realize how like little I like, especially with Freeman. It's like I would much rather have them. I'm much more unbothered by them this year.
I still don't want them to win a national title.
Oh yeah, no. But,
like if those two happen to play for national title, I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't even want to think about it.
I don't think that's going to happen because A&M is phenomenal this year. And
don't tell Notre Dame fans that they think they suck.
No. A&M actually has a shot, I think, to win the SEC.
Yeah. And, well, they definitely got a shot.
And Ohio State, I think, is a world beater again. Just got to beat Michigan.
Yeah.
They should this year. But. I'm taking Notre Dame, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong. And, hey, if USC wins this, then they're in consideration still for playoff bid. I mean, there's a lot of Big Ten teams. All right, we'll fly through a couple of top 25 games. Our old buddy Jeffrey Brohm and his 4-1 Louisville Cardinals are at 5-0 number 2 Miami Friday night, who's a 13.5-point favorite. Brohm likes beating those number 2 ranked teams. Can he get done on the road?
Nope.
No.
Why do I feel like nobody's talking about Miami and they're ranked number 2 in the country?
I don't know. It's weird. It's like they're a big brand too. It's not like it's like, you know, it's not like it's some, yeah, I don't know.
Because Carson Beck, their quarterback.
That's true.
Agreed.
Brian Kelly and his number 10 LSU Tigers are 5-1, travel to number 17 Vanderbilt, who's 5-1 and a 2.5-point favorite.
Cool Tigers.
Yeah, I think
LSU wins this game.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. Number 12, 6-0 Georgia Tech at 4-2 Duke, who is a 1.5-point favorite.
I think the wild card in the playoffs is going to be Georgia Tech.
Hmm?
Because Georgia Tech's going to go to the ACC championship and play Miami. And yep. I think this game, if they win it, I think it just locks, cements them into the ACC and has that shot with Miami. But, I mean, so give me Tech.
We have Brett Key and Haynes King. They've had it rolling down there.
I think he's going to get looks at bigger jobs.
Yeah, it'll just be that's his alma mater, so it'll be interesting.
Yes, he's from. That could be tough.
Yeah, but he's done a heck of a job there. Game of the weekend, number 5, 6-0 Ole Miss, who survived an absolute scare from horrible Washington State team. At number 9, 5-1 Georgia, who is a 8.5-point favorite.
Georgia by 2 touchdowns.
Yep, I agree with that one.
I like Georgia at home. Number 7, Texas Tech, 6-0. At 4-2, Arizona State Tech is a 9.5-point favorite on the road.
And that they will get it done on the road. Give me
Tech.
Yep, I like Tech as well. This could be the game of the weekend, I guess. Number 11, Tennessee, 5-1. At number 6, Alabama, who's 5-1 and a 7.5-point favorite.
Third Saturday in October.
Yep.
That's right.
Give me Bama.
Yep, I think they're pretty focused.
Yeah.
Right now.
Is he wearing a black sweater? Because I saw he was like 11-2 in a black sweater, or 10-2, something like that. 5-2. I don't remember. I saw some stupid stat.
I have zero idea what you're talking about.
There's a stat in regards to like the Boers record at Alabama where it's a black sweater.
Was it like the Patino white suit thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what they're chalking it up to. I don't think this is game of the week, but I'm going to go hype on the boys.
Shut up.
I think game of the week is Holy War.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Number 16, Missouri, 5-1 at 3-3 Auburn. That's a job that could open up. Missouri is a 1.5-point favorite.
I think just Dinkowitz, I think he's a dark horse for the Penn State gig. Give him Missouri.
Yep.
I like the Tigers in this one, but the Missouri Tigers, not the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
I was going to say they should have Ed Orgeron on this call.
Go Tigers with the push down. Holy War, number 23, 5-1 Utah at 6-0, number 15 BYU. But Utah is a 3.5-point favorite. I can't figure this out. Does BYU have an injury or something?
No, but I mean, Utah has Zach Wilson's brother.
I get that. BYU is undefeated and ranked 15th at home. I don't understand. I'm taking the Cougars.
Give me the Cougars.
Give me the Utes and Whittingham.
Whittingham's a good coach. And back to the real game of the week. The 2-4 Boilermakers travel to that. The 4-2 Northwestern Wildcats, who are 3.5-point favorites. So we got score prediction, MVP, and spicy slash bold prediction.
I got to think about this one a little bit.
All right. I'll lead off. I think the Boilers get it done. 24-17.
Oh, man, that was really close to what I was going to say.
MVP, I'm going to go Ryan Brown. He goes no turnovers.
Gosh dang it. Okay.
And my spicy bold prediction. God, I feel like we this is hard to keep coming up with new ones.
Yeah.
Oh. Who can I pick to do something? Malachi Singleton runs for another touchdown.
Okay. Yeah, I'm picking the Boilers 30-17. I was going to say Brown because I was going to also say that he has a clean game, but I will say my play of the game is a tandem, the running back room, because I think my special prediction, I think we have two guys, Maccabee and I mean, pick one.
I picked Harris for MVP at 2 carries for 0 yards. Good job by me.
I'll say Maccabee and Harris both go over the century mark.
Oh, my gosh. Music to my ears.
Maccabee and Harris go over the century mark?
I like the way the line's been playing. Yep. Hence why Brown has a clean game.
Hey, ask Jaden Daniels how that went for him last night with the handoff.
Yes, sir. Slippery when
wet. Oh, my gosh.
Here comes Lynch. Is he going to do 2 weeks in a row on us? Is he going to go 2 weeks in a row on us?
I'm just still – that's a very spicy prediction. I don't. When's the last time we had 200-yard rushers, Knox and Jones?
Don't care.
Was it Knox and Jones?
Sure.
Was it, yeah. Or was it Sheets and Taylor?
I have no idea. I'll look it up and get back with you next week.
Okay. I think mistakes follow us another week. I think we lose.
Should we just say you got us losing the rest of the year? Should we just make that statement now? Because if we lose this game, you're not going to have us win against Rutgers.
Maybe homecoming. You never know. I mean, you never know.
What score? What score, though?
35-28. I think we actually put up points.
We give up 35 to Northwestern?
Ew. Yep. I think inconsistencies come back into play on defense. I think player of the game is going to be someone wanting to make a statement. That being Mr. Yanni.
He's out.
He's out.
Oh, he is?
He's getting a knee injury. He hasn't played.
Then I'm going to make it Preston Stone. He's going to throw 3 touchdowns.
I didn't know their quarterback's name.
I've watched too many games. apparently. And the county fair, spicy prediction, county fair will be sold out this weekend.
How many penalties there, Mr. Penalty?
I think I'm going to give 7 this week.
I thought you were going to say spicy prediction is one of McAllister's punts goes in the lake or something.
So, folks, there is going to be rain, and there could be a lightning delay that could have.
That's
been
what there. I heard last night. I'm like, you gotta be crapping me. Yes. What are we doing?
Well, we play in outdoor stadiums. We ain't playing in the NFL.
Doesn't happen to any other team.
It's supposed to. So, Evan, that is actually. You know what? I'm going to.
Yeah, lightning strikes Cignetti. Actually, no. I take that back. I feel awful if he gets struck by lightning. I take that back. I don't even want to talk that. Speak
dude, do not say that. That is not in Vegas existence. We don't want to get sued. And,
yes, like, that's why I said take it back. Does he wear a whistle though? I mean, you only get strike.
I don't care. I don't care. Hey, my bold prediction here is it is supposed to be breezy on Saturday because I was watching the weather. Jack McAllister's punt will go into the lake because the hang time on it will just drift straight onto the lake.
Oh, my God.
And that will be on SportsCenter's top 10 plays.
We should have named this podcast Off the Rails.
I think that's already trademarked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is one called Off the Rails. There used to be at least Off the Rails. I don't know. So. But that's what you get with Boiler Breakdown. You get a lot of stuff. Before we pay some bills, I got to throw it out there. How good did it feel to see the AP poll come out for the first time in history, Purdue men's basketball ranked number one going into the season?
Honestly, that thought didn't even cross my mind when it happened, which then I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah. Because we just became ranked.
We were number 2 in 87, but we had never been higher than
that. Yeah. Because I was like, well, we came number one for the first time, you know, just a handful of years ago. And
Ho-hum. Right. Ho-hum. 4 out of 5 years. Ho-hum.
Like I said, kind of in the group chat, I was kind of almost mad we weren't like fourth. I was kind of hoping that just to piss this team off.
We got to embrace it. We got to embrace
it. Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, it kind of take the sting off of Saturday a little bit. Because that was something else we could talk about, especially in the state.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Thank God the Jets don't know how to coach, or I was going to have the worst sports week of my life.
I think you also played a running back that's playing quarterback, too.
Once again, they can't coach. They're the ones who put him there.
No, that's a great call by Ryan Pace, thinking that he was going to be a franchise quarterback 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But great. No, it was great to see. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think – just step by step, what's in the Big Ten. Start with that. Go from there. Don't get ahead of your skis and think, what if? What if?
I honestly just want to.
I want to win at Bama first.
I just want to look good at Kentucky next Friday night and come away healthy. Yeah. That's my thing. Like, I'm still scared of. I'm always scared. It's sports, though. You're always going to be nervous about injuries, but that's my big concern. I mean, I think this team's deep enough in certain areas they could lose somebody and be okay, but there's certain guys on this team
Yeah.
I'm not even going to speak of it, but I'm just, yeah.
I just don't want this team to become like what Edie and Ivy's sophomore years were.
Sure.
Nothing to show for.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, so, we've seen teams over the years, you know, Kansas, they're usually ranked well, and they haven't had good seasons. I mean, and they were a 7 seed or whatever in tournament. I mean, that happens. It's just hopefully it's not the case with these guys. So,
correct. So we'll I guarantee their eyes are set on one game at a time and win the Big Ten.
Yep, as they should be. You can win that league. You can win it all. It's a tough league. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So. Still have, no Big Ten team is still won it in 25 years, though.
So. That's crazy, isn't it? Wild.
Especially those Ohio State teams in the 2000s. I thought they would definitely do it.
Yeah. So, all right. With that said, let's pay some bills and talk about our great sponsors, with one of them being Mad Mushroom. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, which has been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of us of the Boiler Breakdown visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month. And I hope none of you are hungry, because this thing makes me salivate. The October pizza of the month is the caramel apple pie, even though Aaron said he doesn't like dessert pizzas. But it's the brown sugar sauce topped with lots of apples, not just a few, lots. Crushed graham crackers, walnuts, and cinnamon, finished with a caramel drizzle. So any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5, all caps, BREAK5, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. So should be easy to spend $20 or more at Mad Mushroom. I mean, you got good pizza. You got good grinders. You got good wings. You got amazing cheese sticks. There you go. So order some this Saturday. Watch the Boilers beat the Wildcats. Use code BREAK5 online and have yourself a Saturday. And Webby, where can you get the good-looking shirt you and I have on, the good-looking hat I have on, this good-looking tumbler I got here on my desk?
Yeah, that'd be at the shop. So they've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Now they've got 3 retail locations across Indianapolis, 1 downtown Indy, 1 in Broad Ripple, 1 in the Carmel area. So if you're ever in town, stop on by. But if you can't, make sure you stop at the shopindy.com. You can use promo code for Breakdown and you get free shipping on your entire order. And they're just running a sale, 25% off for all Purdue IU Butler gear. So if you haven't bought anything yet, I highly suggest doing that. They always run some awesome deals. And like I said, if you use code Breakdown at checkout, you get free shipping on your entire order.
Yep, it looks like pretty much everything's in stock right now. There is some online-only options, including Braden Smith, Fear the Beard, Trey Kaufman, Wren, and the 2004 Gene Pool Throwback Tee. So also the Cradle of Astronauts and the NASA Old Golden Black. Those are all online-onlys. But all sorts of good-looking stuff. Hats, drinkware, tees, sweatshirts.
I'm going to have to give me a scroll back down right there. Oh, scroll down. Born a boy. I'm going to get that for my daughter.
There you go. It is sold out right now, but I'm sure it'll be back in stock. So, yeah, they got good looking stuff all over the place here. So, take advantage of our coupon code and get some free shipping. So, yeah. Any final thoughts, fellas?
Thank goodness this is the last game by the lake for us.
Yeah,
we've never played there.
First and last time. That's a whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. I mean, we kind of talked about, you know, October being the month, and so far hasn't gone to plan. But hopefully, you know, they have a chance to play in the game.
Yep, find a way.
Yep,
find a way somehow. Give us a fun Saturday for the first time in a while. So
it's an opportunity. Morsett could be back too.
Yeah. It'd be nice just to get another body in there, and maybe he can catch the freaking ball. So let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Wildcats.